The Kerry Ambassador Programme podcast series, introducing you to the community and industry leaders aiming to make Kerry a premier business events destination and a place to do business.
Idel Lawler is the founder and director of Expressive Play, a child and adolescent therapy centre in Kilflin, County Kerry. She provides play therapy. She lectures around the world. She's written a book, organised conferences, and has won many awards for her work. Idel Lawler is a founder of the Kilflin Fairy Festival and was listed as one of the top 100 social entrepreneurs in Europe 2022. Idel, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
First of all, congratulations on being chosen as a Kerry ambassador. How did it feel to be invited as one of those 37 founding ambassadors when the programme was launched back in late 2022?
Well, to be honest, when I got an email and I got an invitation in the post, and I was like, that's hardly for me. You know, so that was my reaction, because I was like, oh my God, like, I was so privileged. I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, I would have been brought up in Shanachill, and, you know, there was a lot of kind of stigma around council estates, and there still is. And it was very much, you know, being an early school leaver, and there was many expectations, I suppose, from maybe others about, you know, what you might do when you're older, leaving school. So I suppose to be kind of, you know, asked to be a Kerry ambassador, I'm so proud of it, so proud to be from Shanachill and my roots. So very, very privileged, very privileged. And I think that's one of the things for me is that, you know, when I talk to young people and young teenagers and they say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, I'll never come to anything or whatever, that's not true. Do you know, it's about meeting the people in your lives, you know, that can support you in that. So to be asked to be a Kerry ambassador, it was like, wow. I actually didn't believe it. You know, I was reading that. I said, nah, that's not for me.
So this is a very busy period for you now at the moment as the Kilflin Fairy Festival approaches, as you're a founder of it. And you have also recently been involved in the creation of a fairy tale with Radio Kerry and Kerry College. And we'll speak more about that very shortly. But Idel, you're seen as a world speaker on play therapy. You've won many awards locally and nationally, including last month's Network Kerry Solo Businesswoman category winner. And you've also been acknowledged as one of the top 100 women in Europe as a social entrepreneur. So you're wearing very many hats. Now, you provide play therapy for young people. Mm. You lecture in this area. You've written a book. You've organised conferences. And of course, you are a Kerry ambassador. So first of all, can you tell us about the work you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so I'm based in Kilflin. I've been there for 13 years now. So children are referred to the service. So it could be self-referral where parents are contacting me. It could be referral from a GP, from other services. And my day's work actually is, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I'm doing this over 20 years and I absolutely love what I do. So, you know, children will come to me, you know, with many different difficulties. So children who may have been bereaved, they may be quite anxious, which is a huge thing at the moment with children. I do a lot of end of life work as well, where sometimes a parent is terminal, and so I help out with that. I've been working with Recovery Haven for over 10 years also, and supporting Recovery Haven and work in collaboration with them. Teenagers, you know, that may be experiencing difficulty in relationships, and obviously then more, I suppose, more serious issues that I work with. So I have a playroom and children come into me. They come in to see their special friend Idel, who they believe, like, I'm sometimes the same age as them. They're like, how old are you? I'm like, you know, I'm 48 and a half. The half is always important. And they're like, wow, you're way older than me, I'm 8. But they actually often are quite shocked that somebody of my age can play. So, you know, birds fly, fish swim, children play. So it's psychotherapy for children. It's not talking therapy. You know, we do talk about things also. But children come into the playroom and I work with children in the playroom, and it's their space where they can process what's going on for them. And I also support parents. My work can be online. You know, as you said earlier, I lecture. So I do a lot of work online as well, in the Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, to Australia, to Dubai. It's a very full day. It's a very full day. I also supervise students as well and other clinicians in Kerry.
Okay. When you established your business, Expressive Play, back in 2005 in Kilflin, it was the first in Ireland. Mm. Can you tell us about how it came about and how it has grown then over the years?
I started working in the Women's Refuge in 1996. I actually started on a SEA scheme, do you know, so I was meant to be there for a year. So as I said, I would have been an early school leaver. But community employment schemes, I suppose they're amazing because you get opportunities to, you know, to study and to go back to education. So I think the women in the refuge realised I had a talent before I realised I had a talent, you know. So I kind of went back to college by night. I ended up staying in the refuge for a second year, a third year, and then full-time employment once I got my qualifications. But in all the training that I had done in my social care background and childcare courses, I was trained, when a child tells you about something, when they tell you about abuse, this is what you do, you follow protocol, and which we do, which we follow the Children's First Guidelines. But working in the women's refuge, children weren't talking about their experiences. Some were, right? But I was like, you know, like they're coming from domestic violence. They have witnessed horrific experiences which have been done to them and, you know, to people that are close to them. But they're not talking about their experiences. But I started to really tune into their play and I was like, they are telling their story, but they're telling it in a different way. And as you do, you go on to Google. So I Googled play, trauma, domestic violence. And, you know, scrolling down along, I came across this beautiful term. You know, I'm very dramatic in the way I say things. It was like glowing. It was like play therapy. And I was like, what is that? You couldn't train at the time when I was researching it, and then the training did come, and I would have been one of the first in Ireland to train with a group of 18 others in 2004. So it was from the women's refuge that I realised, you know, I wanted to come out and I suppose to go into the healing side. You know, working in the women's refuge was amazing and I learned so much, and so much from the, I mean, over 1,000 children that I had worked with in the 10 years that I was there. But I wanted to go into the healing side of that work, and also, you know, people that know me, I'm very passionate about giving children a voice. So I left the women's refuge. But it was in the women's refuge that I realised that children need therapeutic intervention. You know, sometimes we had this attitude, or, you know, children are very resilient. You know, he wasn't crying at his mom's funeral, or he wasn't crying at his dad's funeral. He was actually playing. That's a coping mechanism that children, you know, use. It doesn't mean that they're not affected by it. So my journey started in the women's refuge, you know, training as a child and adolescent psychotherapist, and then leaving the women's refuge in 2005 to set up my own private practice.
And has your work changed then over the years, you know, why people are presenting and how you can treat them?
Absolutely. I suppose, you know, as a society, we have changed. Going back years ago when I started, I suppose there wasn't a lot of trust in the whole area of children needing therapy, or people thought, well, no, you know, they don't need it. But then, of course, that started to change. People started to realise that, yeah, children, like adults, need therapeutic intervention. So when I first started off, it could be, you know, children that may have been in care, or children that might have been in a car accident, or children that might have been abused, or they might have been bullied. A little bit of anxiety might have been coming in there. Not many teenagers would have been referred to me, or even adults, because I work with adults with intellectual disabilities as well. So that has changed. And I think it's because of, you know, 2005, when, you know, I suppose social media, phones started coming in, 2015, then we started to see a change in children's mental health around there. I mean, this is worldwide. It's not just in Kerry. And then 2020, I mean, it's a tsunami. It's a tsunami of anxiety, particularly for teenagers. So what has changed in my work is that we get a lot of referrals now for a lot of children who are experiencing huge anxiety. But I think as a world, we're more anxious. Do you know? And I think that's one of the things. There also is a decline in play. And I know people will say, oh, she's off again about play. But that is true. You know, years ago, and I've often talked about this, we went out more to play. We climbed fences. We went into fields. You know, we really took notice in nature because there wasn't anything else to do. You know, our parents would say, lads, will you ever go out and play? And we went out and played. You know, now we're in a society where we've become more anxious about something happening to our children, or, well, they're only playing, so I need to do something else. I need to get them involved in more activities, and they need to be, you know, we need to be on this conveyor belt of doing, 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 doing. And now you add a screen. So a decline in play, add a screen, then you add in COVID, we are seeing a huge amount of anxiety with children. So that's what I'm seeing in my work. I'm also seeing a change where parents are very open about contacting a therapist, where, again, you know, going back 2010, 2005, you know, there was this shame factor. If I'm bringing my child to therapy, that means that there must be something wrong with me as a parent, where that's not true. Where I always say, you know, it's a very hard telephone call to make, is to contact a therapist. But parents are very open to it now, and, you know, they welcome it. The other side of it, Mary, is that not all children need therapy. You know, sometimes parents will contact me and I'll say, you know what, it sounds like just a little bit of reinsurance that you need. And that is true. Sometimes it's just giving parents a little bit of support. Because again, if we go back to society, we had more aunties, we had more grandparents, we had more neighbours that we could check in with. They checked in with us. So there was more of a community child rearing that was going on. We're now, sometimes we might even know our neighbours. you know, we might have the school gate, but there's that kind of bit, well, I can never really tell anybody that I'm struggling or I'm a little bit worried about my kid, because we're meant to be perfect parents, which of course is nonsense. So it has changed, definitely, far more anxiety. And again, it's wonderful also, is because, you know, children, if they need support, you know, if they're autistic or if they have a disability or they need extra support, you know, we're looking at that now more closely. And, you know, schools are changing to support children. Parents are having more information. Now, unfortunately, our system isn't the best. So parents are reaching to my service. And again, it's very hard for me sometimes to even answer my phone, because there's waiting lists. Some parents will tell you, I mean, this isn't new to people. You could be waiting for 2 years. You know, I mean, children can't wait that long. So I am a private practice, so parents are reaching out to me. But as I said, sometimes I can't even pick up my phone or return calls, you know. So I would like to see a huge change in that. And I know there's a whole new local people now that have been elected, and I hope they reach out to me. And, you know, we can have some discussions around that, because, again, children don't have a voice. So sometimes it's easier to kind of push that aside because they can't vote. So I suppose there's loads of different things that I would like to do, you know, around my work and to raise awareness. And that's one of the things. But there definitely is a change with children, but it's a world change. And again, it's even parents. It's the social media. You know, they look on social media and they say, oh, that family's in Lanzarote. Look, they're having so much fun and they're all in the water playing together. Well, yeah, maybe for 10 minutes, but there's there's the fighting that's going on behind, which is very normal. So you might have a parent then that is judging them, says, I'm not doing what that parent is doing, or, you know, this 5 tips to put them to bed, but my little one is still inside in the bed with me. So we're looking out for others. So we're looking out for the experts or the Ida Lawlers. And as I say to parents, I'm not an expert. You know, and I always say to parents, you know, you go back to, how do you feel about the decision that you're making? Go back to that instinctual piece as a parent. You know, does that feel okay, the decision that you're making? And I suppose it's one of the things that I want to do, is to support parents in trusting their own judgments again, because we think other people know best. And that's not actually true. But that's one of the things that I talk a lot about with parents. And it's just sometimes it's reassurance, as I said earlier on.
Mm-hmm. And you touched on COVID there. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that really created a change? You know, there was so much social isolation during the couple of years. Do you think it had a huge impact on the younger generation?
It's interesting you said that. My daughter reckons it was one of the best times of her life. You know, she would have been, I suppose, 12 at the time, and loved the fact that I was at home. We were doing things in the garden. You know, the first time there was lockdown, we had great weather. So for her and for me, actually, I really enjoyed it. And some parents will say that, and some parents will say it was a brilliant opportunity to be with their children. Other parents would say it was a complete nightmare. You know, children who should have been in preschool socialising missed out on that. You know, some parents were trying to work from home. Households were very, very stressful. Very, very stressful. One of the things, I suppose, about COVID, it was that isolation for children. And I do think there was an impact. And even, you know, talking to other early years workers, is that they started to notice a difference in children coming in after COVID, is that their play skills, or there was a lot of social anxiety. And even to kids returning to school, that, you know, if they were in secondary school, they were meant to start off first year. Now they've missed that. So there was that meeting friends, you know, so we've a lot of school refusal, you know, so there's a lot of stuff that COVID, I suppose, I would say amplified, maybe that was already there. Do you know, and that social side of things, you know, for young children, you know, in preschool and junior infants and senior infants, you know, they did miss out. But for some children, it was positive, because they may not have had that experience maybe with a parent that was working. And now we've got 2 parents at home, and, you know, we were baking and planting flowers, board games on the first lockdown. The second lockdown now is a different story for people. So I think it depends on the child. The other thing is that I noticed is that there was a decline in eye contact with children over the years. And I think that was down to screens as well. But one of the things I noticed about COVID, because we were wearing masks, we actually had to focus more with our eyes. So there was something I thought, you know, I started to see a change with some children, is that there was more eye contact with some kids. Some kids were really anxious going back into school because the mask helped them to cover up, particularly teenagers. It was like the hood. It was them not having that mask going back into secondary school. They were feeling very, very vulnerable. So COVID was a very interesting time, I suppose, around mental health. There was a positive and there was a negative aspect to it. But I think we had a lot of difficulties before COVID, but I think COVID amplified it.
Okay. As I mentioned at the start, you were recently involved in the creation of a fairy tale, The Hidden Light, with Radio Kerry and Kerry College and some local young people. And this all came about through a Kerry Ambassador Programme networking event. So can you talk to us about that, how it all came about?
Yeah, I had the privilege to sit next to Fiona, the manager here in Radio Kerry, and we started talking, you know, and both of us have a love of Kerry, and started talking about fairy tales and sculptures around Kerry, started talking about children's mental health. So, you know, Fiona said, I think we could do something together. And I said, that would be amazing. And she was on the ball straight away. I think it was a couple of days later. She emailed me to ask me would I like to, you know, I suppose, to work with Radio Kerry and with the Kerry College in creating a story. And it was like from the beginning, the experience from the beginning to the students, you know, excitement to their creation, from Connie to Fiona. It was a fantastic experience. And it really, you know, highlights, like, it's not the Kingdom of Cork, the Kingdom of Kerry. We have the Kingdom, you know, it's not the Kingdom of Cork or the Kingdom of Dublin or the Kingdom of Limerick. You know, we're the Kingdom of Kerry for a reason. I think we have so many hidden jewels in the kingdom. And the story really is about, you know, it's looking at, you know, some difficulties that children will go through, from anxiety to facing maybe an illness. You know, there's many different messages in it. And I think adults will get that as well. But the students in it, from their, you know, they went out to Phoenix, they did the sounds, they did the effects. I got to play the camp leader. I also got to play the little fairy. And working with the kids that were involved as well was amazing. And what I do hope is that a lot of schools will play that, because, you know, like one woman had said to me, she said, Idel, you know, I've been playing the story to my son, she said, for the last few nights. And she goes, every night he says to her, Mom, will you put on the hidden light project? And, you know, he would have a lot of anxiety going to sleep. And when you hear that, and of course then there's a part about Shawnee the goat, and he gets a fit of giggling. He said, Mom, will you rewind that part again? So when you hear what parents are saying to you about it, and even some adults came back and they said, like, I had a lump in my throat, I had tears in my eyes, because it meant an awful lot to me. Like, to be part of something like that with Radio Kerry and the Kerry College and the students and the children, like, it was like one of the best experiences that I had.
Hmm. So the Hidden Light highlights the challenges and bravery faced by its three young characters. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously something that you deal with in your work. Yeah. On a daily basis. And children and young people, they can experience difficulties for a variety of reasons, you know, as you mentioned before. Yeah. So do you think this fairy tale will resonate with a lot of people for different reasons?
Absolutely. And I think recovery, definitely one of the, I suppose, one of the themes that goes through the story is, it's a little bit like Taylor Swift, it's all quoted, right? So, you know, there is that bravery, there's the resilience, it's, you know, finding your, you know, discovering your true self. I think the story, you know, to listen to it, is that it will resonate with adults and children. I think very much so. And the feedback that I've been getting, I suppose, from, you know, children that I'm working with and clients that I'm working with and other professionals in the field of child and adolescent psychotherapy, the feedback is so positive. And one of the things, I suppose, again, you know, there is this kind of whole thing around storytelling for children, you know, fairy tales. We're not kind of, you know, it's all social media again. And I think the Hidden Light Project brings the, I suppose, that core storytelling back to children again and adults. Do you know, I mean, I think it's wonderful. You know, it's like with music or stories, we'll find something for ourselves in it, you know, that we'll take, you know, for ourselves. Like there's so many messages in it. It's wonderful.
And do you think it'll help not just young people, but maybe anyone, to understand how some people can be going through difficult situations at any given time?
Absolutely, yeah. For teenagers and for adults. And again, you know, I am hearing things that, you know, from adults. It's like, you know, one woman said to me, I actually met her outside in Phoenix where I was out there walking, and she said, Idel, she said, I listened to the story. She said, fair play to everybody that was involved. And she said, you know, it really resonated with me. She said, you know, I went through something really difficult. No, she didn't go into anything what it was. And she said, you know, I listened to the story. She said, and I got so much, she said, from the story. She goes, and I'm an adult. She said, I'm 54. So, I mean, when you hear that is just wonderful. I mean, and that's the power of storytelling. That's the power, I suppose, when people come together who are creative and they create a story with so many messages in it. Yeah, so it's a very special story.
And it's available for anyone to listen to now on the Radio Kerry website, radiokerry.ie/The Hidden Light. Would your aim for parents or teachers to play it to young people, or maybe not so young people, yeah, and to let it sink in?
Absolutely. I think it could be something that could be played in schools, in secondary schools, you know, in any organisation that works with people. It's a story for all ages, you know, and what I would love is that for children then to take it to another level is that, you know, they can hear the story, it's a visual, you know, they can use their imagination, but then to do something creative around it, maybe create a piece of art around it. What do they think the hidden jewels look like? You know, what do they think Sir Ronnie looks like? What about the lighthouse? What about the three dolphins and Finnet? You know, Karen Tool. I mean, if you think about the potential the story has, I mean, I actually think it should be a Disney. It has huge potential. I think the story is going to do really, really well.
Okay. And going back to the development of the concept of the Hidden Light and your conversation with Radio Kerry General Manager Fiona Stack, what does that say to you then about the benefits of being a Kerry ambassador and the opportunities from being involved in this network of very diverse ambassadors?
Like, wonderful. I was invited to the Business Awards and, you know, just like that, you're sitting at a table, having a conversation, you're a Kerry ambassador, I end up talking to Fiona, and then all of a sudden there's the Hidden Light Project, which is promoting positive mental health, positivity for adults and children, but it's also promoting the kingdom. You know, and that's something that we started off talking about was all the different sculptures that we have in Kerry. Like, you know, as I said, I'm a very proud Kerry woman, but you know, I would love to see a map done with all the different sculptures in Kerry, you know, promoting Waterville. Charlie Chaplin is back there, but he's only back there because Walt Disney recommended, right? So Walt Disney was in Waterville. We have a chocolate factory. We have a phoenix in the Kerry Cliffs. We have Phoenix Island, you know, we have Banner Beach. Like, there's so much potential, you know. So rather than kids sitting in the back of a car on screens, why not have a map? And every time they pass somewhere, so the unicorn out in the Killarney Road when you're coming in from Cork, to the dolphin back in Phoenix, the sculpture, to the Kerry players, to Charlie Chaplin. Like, there's so many beautiful sculptures in Kerry where I would love to see a map. So people visiting the kingdom, they get a beautiful, magical map of the kingdom, which is a magical map, it's called. So rather than kids sitting in the back of cars on technology, whenever they pass the goat and Killorgan. Like, if you think about it, if you think about our sculptures alone in Kerry, wouldn't that be the most amazing magical map? You know, my granddaughter and my children, like, as I said, I love Kerry. We go back to South Kerry, but we have all these little places, you know, and I'm constantly telling stories. Like, you know, if you drive over a bridge, there's actually two going back to South Kerry, where it's only one car can pass, you know that there's a troll that lives under that bridge. So that's the heart of kind of a day trip with families. It's like, as a Kerry ambassador, that's what I want to promote. So I talk for Ireland about that. So this is the conversation that I was having with Fiona as an ambassador. So there's huge potential for networking and to really promote Kerry. So when families are coming into Kerry, which they do quite a lot, because obviously Kerry is beautiful, I want to engage children more. I want to kind of give more of a platform to the villages around Kerry. And what do they have and what do they have to offer? Even to the wild Colonian boy. When we pass that, we're like, do you know? So that's what I want to do. I suppose I'm very passionate about that.
Okay. And I suppose the Kerry Ambassador Programme aims to drive that further economic growth and raise the county's profile as a place to do business. Yeah. And that includes bringing conferences to Kerry, which are very popular here. And this is something that you have done in the past. You organised a child trauma conference in 2016. Bringing 300 delegates and world-renowned trauma expert Dr. Bruce Perry to Kerry. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, Dr. Bruce Perry, he'd be world-renowned. I mean, he's probably the most famous man on the planet, actually, at the moment when it comes to child trauma. He's recently written a book with Oprah Winfrey. So I contacted Dr. Bruce Perry, but I actually emailed him for about 3 years. That's how persistent I am. Because I suppose I'm very passionate about, you know, children often get misunderstood around, you know, oh, he's a naughty boy, or, you know, he doesn't listen, you know, it's, well, what's wrong with him? Do you know, and as Dr. Perry said, it's not what's wrong with him, it's what has happened. So eventually Dr. Perry responded to an email and I said, I would love to organise a conference. Now, like, a little business in Kilflin is contacting a world-renowned child psychiatrist. And he agreed. I couldn't believe it. And I mean, it was an international child trauma conference where they came from Europe, they came from different parts of Ireland as well. And it booked out straight away because of this man's knowledge and experience in the world of child trauma. So basically, that conference went ahead. And Kilflin National School, actually, I got involved with them, didn't tell anybody about it. And I asked them to learn the song Lean On Me. Right. So the teachers there, they were amazing. All the kids learned the song. Dr. Perry spoke at the conference. We had solicitors, we had doctors, we had teachers, we had therapists, social workers. And at the end of the conference, you know, the doors opened up and all the children came in, right? And Dr. Perry didn't even know this. And they came to the top of the hall, it was in the Rose Hotel, and they all sang Lean On Me, which was amazing to finish off the day of kind of heavy listening, you know, and you wouldn't see a dry eye in the house. So to have Dr. Bruce Perry in Ireland, in Kerry, as an international conference was amazing. I'm so proud to bring him here. Have been in contact with him again, but his platform has risen since he's written a book with Oprah Winfrey. So he said that he will, but it could be a couple of years. So what I am hoping, I suppose, for Kerry as a Kerry ambassador, is that I am hoping to bring him to maybe the INEC on a bigger platform as well, to have him back again, or maybe somebody else as well. So I am looking at that maybe the next year.
Okay, so that would be one of the maybe conference or investment opportunities you'd be looking at, I suppose, using your expertise and your profile to come to Kerry.
Yeah.
And as a Kerry ambassador, you have Becky and Fiona at Kerry Convention Bureau on hand, providing advice, guidance and practical supports to not only develop these opportunities to successfully bring national and international business events to Kerry, but also to facilitate connecting you to the wider supports at a destination level available from Kerry Ambassador Programme stakeholders, including Kerry County Council, Kerry Tourism Industry Federation and Fall to Ireland.
Yeah, and hopefully as well, I've been talking to somebody else as well, is that we're hoping to maybe run a play therapy conference also in spring next year. So that's different play therapists around Ireland that will come together to Kerry, and we'll hold a conference in Kerry as well. So that's quite exciting. So there's a couple of things that I'm involved in at the moment.
And of course, you are one of the founders of the Kilfinan Fairy Festival, which is coming up shortly.
Yeah.
And that's a huge attraction. Did you say it is the most popular in Europe?
It's the 10th anniversary and it's the biggest fairy festival in Europe, would you believe that, in a little village in Kilfinan? Like, it's, you know, sometimes you're like, wow. It's looking at the whole area of social capital. It's looking at, you know, that whole sense of a community coming together, you know, and Kilfinan are very, very proud of the fairy festival. You know, it's all voluntary, you know, and basically, I suppose the idea came about is that, a little bit like what I was talking about earlier on, is to, you know, get children out to play, you know, get them back into nature again. So I started doing little fairy trails in a very small, like, workshops. And then I contacted some people in the local community. It was John Byrne, actually, that I had the first conversation with. And I said, well, we have a fairy festival. And of course, he was laughing. And we were like, he was like, really? And I said, wouldn't it be amazing to bring children in, back to basics, come off the phone and let them meet some fairies? And that's kind of how it started. And then local people got involved. Our chairperson is Mick Brady. And, you know, we have a very strong committee. And we basically, even the local people and people, other volunteers, we just come together, and it's about creating a magical, magical event for children based on using your imagination. Do you know? And of course, I get to play Pearl, the Queen of the Fairies. And that balances out my work, because I suppose my work, you know, can be very heavy. So the idea of being Pearl, Queen of the Fairies for the weekend, and dressing up, and the children come up and they say, Pearl, can I have your autograph? So I'm signing autographs all weekend and just sharing that, you know, and to see parents, you know, bringing their picnic, sitting in the fields. So it's very, very natural. They see the fairy trail, and it's so creative. It's magical. The fairies, you know, they sprinkle little fairy dust on your toes, and for one day only, you get to see where the fairies live in Kilfinan. So, I mean, it's the power of people in a village, really, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Do you know, it's very magical. So we're very, very busy this time of the year, and we're looking forward again. And people come from all over. They've come from England, they come from Germany. Last year we had a family there from New York. So it's a massive, massive attraction. But it's so simple, but it's back to basics, back to play, and bring your family together. Do you know, the coverage isn't great in some parts of the trail, but I'd say the fairies kind of do that purposefully. So you can take some pictures, but you can't ring anyone in certain parts.
Now, you have been a speaker at a TEDx Trilly event. I suppose, how did it feel to be asked to take part in that? Because they are very prestigious events as well. And can you also tell us about your topic?
Yeah, my topic was unconditional kindness towards children, which, again, it's something, it doesn't cost anything to be kind. When, you know, I went forward for the TEDx, and, you know, my TEDx was accepted, my idea was accepted, and, you know, to be asked by Brian Carr and James Finnegan. It was a privilege to work with both of them with the TEDx. And my topic was unconditional kindness towards children. you know, bringing my children to secondary school, my older girls to secondary school, you know, many years ago, I was constantly watching this lady at CBS school. She was the lollipop lady. And of course, my teenagers were at the age where they didn't really want to talk to me. Do you know what I mean? So I was observant as teenagers go through that stage. And I watched this lady for a couple of years, actually. But I was to watch the children approach her and the excitement by these kids, right, when they'd see this lollipop lady. And I was like, wow. And sometimes she'd actually hand them a lollipop and they'd run up towards her. And I'm like, you know, that's kindness. You know, it doesn't cost anything to be kind, you know. And working with children over the years, they come into therapy and they'll tell me about their coach. They'll tell me about their teacher, you know, that sometimes acts really silly, or, you know, or the teacher that's gone beyond and over to do something for the child. So I know what the power of kindness is. So that's what my TEDx was about, was that unconditional kindness towards children. Just because we're working with children, you never know what a child is going through. So if you're a teacher and you've got kids inside in your class, there's 7 children in your classroom that are living with domestic violence. There are children who are living with addiction. There's a child in that class that may know somebody that has a cancer diagnosis. There's a child in that class that may feel unloved, unwanted. They may be struggling. They might be having difficulty with their mental health. They might be having difficulty with their body image. So kindness is something that we really need to be toward, to each other, but particularly towards children, because I hear about it in my therapy room. We often talk about, as therapists, we talk about the power of one. It only takes one adult to show that unconditional kindness towards a child that actually can have, you know, a lifelong positive impact on the child. We call it the power of one. That could be the teacher, it could be the football coach, it could be the therapist, you know, where a little boy might say to his teacher, when I grow up, I want to be a fireman. And the teacher would say, you know what, I think you're going to be the best fireman there ever was. But that little boy might go home and he might tell somebody, I want to be a fireman, but maybe nobody hears him. Do you know, so it's, I suppose my TEDx talk really is, it's looking at the, you know, the power of kindness towards children.
That sounds fantastic. Well, look, we are going to leave it there, Adele. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me. The best of luck with the Kilfinan Fairy Festival, and congratulations once again on your work on The Hidden Light and for being chosen as one of the 37 founding ambassadors of the Kerry Ambassador Programme.
Thank you so much, Mary, for having me.
The Kerry Ambassador Programme, driving economic growth through business events and investment opportunities, and raising Kerry's profile as a global business hub. For more, visit kerryconventionbureau.com/Kerry Ambassador.